Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday morning to you. I say, because that's what I always say on Monday morning. It's just kind of rote at this point in time, but happy Monday nonetheless. The sun did rise today, and you are, if you are listening, you are breathing to some capacity. You are north of the dirt, which is good. I guess that's what we have going for us collectively, Tony, on this Monday morning. Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. John Osier will stop by in about an hour from now, and we'll get the opinion of the senior writer from Jaguars.com on what's been going on with the Jags, which is not a whole lot of winning, obviously. 1-5 now. Tony, people have been posting the stats about how far back this goes, and I think I saw the one that said 15-73. Was that the numbers in the last 80? 15-73. How many of those have come at home? How many opportunities have you had to go to Everbank in whatever incarnation it's been called and come away happy at the end of the day because the Jacksonville Jaguars got a W? It has been so few and far between. And I get it. Different regimes. I'm not blaming that on Shad Khan. He hasn't been here this whole time. You can't blame it all on Dave Kohler.
I mean, if you want to really split it up and make it like the Blake Bortles era, right, if that's what you want to do, I think I saw Irish Jaguar tweet last week, and I incorrectly corrected him. But I think with the game in London not really counting as a home game for Blake Bortles, that loss yesterday makes him 4-5 at home. Like, and that compared to everything that had been going on for the years before that,
that's really good.
Is remarkably good.
Now we're not trying to spin the sunshine on this one. That's just ironic that is the case. But look,
still on one road game, by the way. That's what that means too.
Yeah, it does. The larger point being, Jaguar fans have suffered for a long, long,
no doubt,
long time. And whoever you want to point the finger of blame at, I get every ounce of frustration that I hear exhibited and offered up by Jaguar fans in every manner that they have to communicate that frustration to me. Every bit of social media and email and texts and tweets and you name it, phone calls to this program, people I meet in person who know what I do, and or even if you don't know what I do, and you just talk to people about Jaguar football, and it is it's a depressing state right now, quite frankly. So today's question of the day, and this is not going to be the theme of the program. This is something for the end of the hour, Tony, or the end of the 2 hours, that we can hopefully end on a high note. Because I get it. You're frustrated. There are not many positives that you can point to. There are not many things making you happy as Jaguar fans right now, and it's completely understandable. Okay, but our challenge to you today, more than anything, is what are the three things that do give you the most hope as a Jaguar fan? Three things. Can you come up with three things? And whatever that is to you, and we'll share those at the end. In the meantime, we're going to open up the phone lines here in about 5 minutes, and you can let us know how you feel about what's going on and you know, what can be done to fix it. Are you a fan that is, as we heard from some on the postgame show yesterday, Tony, ardent, diehard supporters that are going to ride with them through thick and thin? That's fine. Other people who are just upset beyond belief because of the commitment that they give to this team and in time and money investment, emotional investment, and it feel like it's not repaid in kind. And so if you're on the other end of the spectrum or anywhere in between, we're not censoring your calls as long as you keep it clean, okay? 641-1010 is the number.
It's a PG broadcast.
It is a PG broadcast. I don't know. By the way, did you watch? Oh, you wouldn't have watched it because you're not watching the new season of Walking Dead yet.
No.
It was not a PG broadcast on Talking Dead last night.
No.
Kevin Smith took it to a place that I was surprised it got to on AMC, but I digress. So today, please, for our sakes, try to keep it PG or Tyler will be forced to dump you, and then we will reverse dial your phone and show up at your doorstep and say naughty things from the front sidewalk of your house. So Tony will do that. Counting on him to fulfill those obligations later on. Tony, where do you begin? I mean, way too many mistakes. Some good things in the passing game, certainly. But when you throw it 50-something times, you should throw for 300 yards.
Look, honestly, I think you begin with where that game went south, and that's the fourth quarter. Honestly, they had a lead.
14-10. They took a lead.
Right. They had a lead going into the fourth quarter of that football game, and they had a about as bad a five-minute span as you'll see in the National Football League, where, look, we talked about it yesterday during the postgame, and I had actually just tweeted out about it. After Hopkins caught the first touchdown pass, I'm like, House has played pretty well today. Like, I'm watching DeAndre Hopkins have to make these one-handed backwards grabs, clutching it against his helmet.
Right.
Like, and guys that are that talented, when they make that kind of play, you just kind of tip your cap and go, damn.
Right. I played good defense, yeah. And he still made some plays because that's who
so
he is.
So he caught the one on the back of the end zone, and it's like, okay, you gave one up to DeAndre Hopkins. All right, guys, let's get back out there and get something done. Then you got the pick six. Then you got the next time they get the ball, they come down the field, and it's Hopkins just runs by Devon House for that second touchdown, and it all went so south so quick for that football team in that football game where you actually felt like when they took that lead, all right, let's see what happens here. Like, I never felt like after they took a lead, they're going to win this football game now. It was, okay, let's see what happens here. Because what in the NFL, these games come down to the fourth quarter, and they come down to how you're going to execute. And when you're a team that isn't better than anybody you're playing in the Jacksonville Jaguars, you may be as good as some of the teams you're playing. I think they're as good as Houston coming into the game, right?
Talent-wise.
Right. I think they're as good as that team. But that means that it's probably going to come down to how you execute in the fourth quarter,
yes,
that football game. And yesterday in the fourth quarter, the execution was just awful. I mean, it fell apart in all three phases again. And it's one of these where you can't just point to, I wish it was just the offense or it was just the defense, but it's they both messed up. You missed an extra point. You recover an onside kick where you were offsides. I mean, it's all three
every
phases
phase of the game is
again
up.
Has a big failure in the last part of that football game. So it's hard to point fingers at anything in the end except back at the coaching staff. Because that's where you feel like the consistency for these players needs to come from.
When it's that widespread, you're hearing that now. Look, we get it. I'm not trying to foment a revolution against Gus Bradley. I don't need to. There's one that's bubbling up just below the surface, or it may have breached a surface at this point in time. It's out there. And, you know, that doesn't mean that there's going to be any changes made around here. We don't know what's in Shad Khan's head, despite people who call up the postgame and tell you that they talk to him on the yacht. And they may have, for all I know.
They have. I know there was a Bud Light up for whatever party on the yacht. So there were certainly fans on the yacht.
Right. I'm not disputing the account. I just, you know, when someone calls in randomly and you don't know them personally.
Oh, you take it with a grain of salt.
Right. And you say, okay, thanks for the info, and you pass it along. It's not a verified account, but what we're talking about, somebody called up the post game yesterday and said they talked with Shad and Tony. So I don't mischaracterize this. I don't remember the exact wording, but it was something to the effect of, what happens if we lose this week? He said it will be dealt with.
It will be addressed.
It will be addressed,
yeah.
Right. So take that to mean what it will.
Whatever.
And, you know, what is Shad Khan, by the way, supposed to say in a situation like that? I'm going to ignore it? You know,
right.
I mean,
an address could mean a thousand things, right? I mean, it could mean I'll have a meeting.
Right.
You don't know.
No, you don't.
What exactly that means for Shad Khan. But look, like you said, Mike, the frustration of the fan base right now is completely understandable. We talked about it after that Indianapolis game with the way that they lost that one in a game that they should have won. There's no reason they should have lost that football game except they didn't execute when they needed to late in that football game. You could feel the fan base slipping from Gus Bradley after that game. And then they lose the game to Tampa Bay, and you could, like, there was this almost like last ditch effort from some of the guys out there that I talk to on a weekly basis where it's like, all right, let's hang on. Maybe they can turn this thing around with this game coming up against Houston. And it's the way they lose that game against Houston, a lot of it, it's not like he's losing the fan base now. It feels like it's lost. Right. And I don't know what can happen, you know, going forward for this football team for Gus to get that large part of this fan base right now back. I'm not saying it's everybody, because we do talk to fans that are still,
obviously,
hey, let's give them till the end of the year
and
see what happens.
As Jeff Logman said last week, maybe it's a vocal minority. I don't know. We can't know what the percentage is, but the ones who are vocal
are shouting
are
loud,
ticked. Okay,
yeah.
The one there are a lot more vocal ones that are ticked off and want change from top to bottom than there are vocal ones who say, I'm very upset, but let's maintain the status quo and let's ride this out. And that doesn't, again, that we don't know. I have no way of knowing what's going on in Shad Khan's head as far as that goes. But ultimately, this guy did not build billion-dollar empires in finance, in business to sit around when something's going this wrong this long with a property, such a high-profile property, the most high-profile property he owns. It may not be where he made the most money.
No.
But it's certainly the most high-profile property that he owns, and we'll see where it goes. Look, for me, people ask me, you know, are you going to announce today or that Gus Bradley's being fired? No, I don't expect that to happen. I certainly don't expect that to happen this week with a trip to London coming up. If they lose to Buffalo, Tony, I think all options are on the table.
Sure.
I'm not calling for it. I have no control over it one way or another. I could call for it all day or not call for it all day. It's going to have zero impact on the outcome.
But it
does make logical sense because we've seen moves when they're made in season often come on bye week.
Yeah.
At least they seem to.
And it would be disingenuous if, you know, we went through this entire week and didn't mention the idea that if it goes bad in London for this team and they're 1-6 and don't look good again against this Buffalo Bills team over there in England, that there is a real possibility that Gus Bradley is not the head coach of this football team next Tuesday. That is a possibility. Not because I've heard anybody in the building say anything to me about it. It's just you look at the history of what has happened with those games in London and with teams that are struggling the way the Jaguars are struggling right now. We talked about it before this year even started. No coach in the Super Bowl era has won 2 games in 7 years and been given a third. Hasn't happened. Now,
7 games in 2 years.
Right, that's what I said. Didn't I?
2 games in 7 years.
Okay,
same
seven
thing.
Games in 2 years. But 7 games in 2 years. No coach has ever had that and gotten a third. And now he's won 1 out of 6. I mean, that's where they're at, and they have the bye week coming up to not at least acknowledge that is a real possibility.
You know what else is a possibility? It's a possibility. And understand we're using the word possibility because we don't know. Okay? It's a possibility. Shad Khan made a commitment before the season to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley to ride it out no matter the outcome this year. We don't know.
Could have been.
I'm not saying that happened. If you're asking me what is Shad Khan thinking, I simply can't give you an answer.
No idea.
That. You know, I'd love to know. And
I know he's probably upset that they sold the fewest amount of tickets that they've sold in 6 years in this city.
I would imagine so.
And that if he saw...
Especially if it's the only home game in about a two-month stretch.
And I don't know if he was at the game yesterday, but if he saw what everyone else saw who was there, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter of that football game as far as the fans that are left, look, that has to get him upset. There's no way as an owner of a football team you can have those two things combined and not be sitting there going, what is happening with my franchise right now?
All right, phone lines are open, and as soon as we come out of this first break, if you're on the line, we will go right to you. We want fan reaction Monday, as many as we can get in. So, you know, try to keep the comments a little bit unique and keep them as brief as possible, but hit on whatever you need to hit on, whatever you feel you do anyway. The fan feedback question today brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. We'll deal with this at the end of the show. Give us 3 reasons for hope. If you're a Jag fan, if you have 3, that what are you hopeful about when you look at this team and their performance? Are there things we're just trying to balance it out here? And because we know there's going to be a stream of well-deserved negativity or upset people or however you want to describe yourselves today. I'm not going to describe you for you. You describe yourselves. 641-1010. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. It's Jaguars today, just kicking off the week, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, then, here we go. Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We've taken to closing the studio door the last week plus, Tony. The more heated it gets out there, the more voices get raised and emotions flare. And to allow any work to get done in the business offices here at Everbank today, we thought it was wise, once again, to shut ourselves off in the sanctuary and talk to the good people of Jacksonville, Florida. 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Let's get out to it without further delay. Let's go to Mike at the beaches to start us off today. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, man. Well, how's it going?
Good morning.
Yeah, man. My whole thing, well, first off, why was DeAndre Hopkins not double covered at some point during the game? I don't care if it was half of a quarter. I mean, they weren't throwing it to nobody else. And then you really are afraid of Cecil Shorts and man-to-man coverage to where, like, I mean, I would have DeAndre Hopkins covered the whole game. I would take my chances on one-on-one with Cecil Shorts and whatever tight end. They weren't throwing it to nobody else. And I feel like that's all on Gus as a defensive-minded coach. And I was taking right. my your comments.
Thank you,
off
Mike.
There.
I don't think it's an unfair point. I can't speak to whether or not he was ever double teamed around. We have the TV angle, so we can't always tell.
It wasn't, no.
I had the TV angle.
The game plan certainly looked like from the outset that they're going to put House out there on Hopkins. And he did a good job on him for three quarters, I thought.
He did a great job in the first half.
Right. I thought that he was doing a good job. And then in the fourth quarter, it went bad, and you do have to question when it goes like that against a player of that talent. You do have to ask at some point, why isn't he getting help?
If he's killing us, why don't we stop him from killing us, see if somebody else has
right.
the ability to kill us or not?
And I don't know, you know, the touchdown drive they had, the 99-yard drive, before they even snapped the ball on the touchdown play, like when I was looking at it, I was like, he's got Foster one-on-one with Telvin, and he's going to eat him up. Like, before the play was even snapped in my head, I went, he's got Foster one-on-one on a little arrow route, and this is going to be a touchdown. And I could see it before they snapped the ball. And it left me wondering, do the Jaguars have an answer for Arian Foster coming out of the backfield, too? And because they were trying to find answers for, you know, Cecil was beating him a little bit, and it looked like Foster was beating him a little bit, did they feel like, well, House is doing a good enough job on Hopkins, so we don't have to worry about that? And trying to find other areas that they were trying to fix and shore up a little bit. I don't know the answers to those questions. I know that I was wondering myself, for a guy that you know is going to get 15 to 20 targets in a game, do you really want to leave one guy out there on an island against somebody as talented as DeAndre Hopkins for an entire game? And in the end, it burned him.
In the end, it did. And look, I can understand why they stuck with it going into the second half, because they had a lot of success. Even the catches he made in the first half were heavily contested. You're
yeah.
like, wow, this guy is on pace for one of his worst games of the season. Here's what he's done the last 4 weeks, including yesterday. He had 8 catches for 101 yards against Tampa. He had 9 for 157 against Atlanta. He had 11 for 169 against Indy. And then 10 for 148 against the Jags. This is who he's become. Now, he scored 2 touchdowns in this game to increase his season total to 5. So it's one thing to give up all that yardage. When you're giving up the scores on the back end of it, that's what kills you.
And what Houston really started doing in the second half of the game is they would basically put Hopkins on one side and not run anything else out there. So it really was House on an island. I mean, it was House in a sea of space against DeAndre Hopkins, where Hoyer would have the option to throw the ball 3 yards to his left, and there's only 2 guys out there that can even make a play.
Right. And oh, you know, oh, by the way, Tony, no pressure most
oh,
of the
no.
time. So that, and that feeds into it, because if you're getting some, you can get away with doing that, and that's part of the philosophy. Well, the philosophy is not working in practice because they're not getting any pressure.
There's
Hoyer, too often, just like we've seen countless times over the last several years, just stood back there, turned his head, surveyed the field, did what he wanted to, and was ultimately allowed to pick this team apart. Let's move on. Thank you, Mike, for the call. Let's go to Mike on the south side. Got a stack of mics this morning on the lines. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning, Mike and Tony. Hey, listen, staying on that subject, just real quick. It's the defining play of Bradley. We're making Hoyer look like an all-pro. We're making Hasselbeck look like an all-pro. The defining play of Bradley's coaching ability, which is none, is to have Hopkins and House on the fourth quarter, 3rd and 7. He's one-on-one, press coverage with the safety not within 20 yards of any help over the top. Now, that's not a TV angle, because I was at the game. And that safety,
wasn't
20 yards. That was one-on-one press coverage on a 3rd and 7, and Bradley can't coach. And that's a defining. I mean, that's it. This is automatic proof that this guy can't coach.
All right, hey, Mike, we appreciate it. Was that the only point you wanted to make, or was that, I guess that was it? All right, appreciate it, Mike. I wasn't disputing the coverage. I'm just saying I have a different angle from the people that are in the stadium. I can't always see exactly what people are talking about.
No, he was out there
alone. Because we watch her in the radio. So I don't doubt that. I'm just,
yeah.
You know, for me, I can't verify that through my own eyes.
And he was the whole second half. And like I said, Houston adjusted. I mean, that's what happened in the second half. Houston adjusted, where they were running some combo routes and stuff, it looked like, with DeAndre Hopkins. And that's where you saw some of the, like, he's running a bunch of crossing routes. in the first half of that football game, and House is right on his hip, and there's other guys around it. And in the second half, they basically, you know, five or six times just put Hopkins out there, knowing it was going to be House one-on-one. He probably wasn't going to get safety help because he hadn't the whole game, and they let those guys run out in space, and Hopkins won. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Hopkins won when he was put in that situation.
Moving along, let's go to Theo in St. John's up next. Hello, Theo.
Hey, Mike, it's Leo, but I don't mean to correct anybody.
Oh, I'm sorry, Leo. Yeah. What's up?
No, it's all good. Your guy, he said that, but I wasn't trying to correct him. I'm not big in names. Good morning, guys. Listen, I just want everybody, you know, I don't want to get on here and preach or nothing, man. We're such an impatient society nowadays, man. I tell you, it's really kind of scary. And I step back for a minute, and I think about Gus Bradley's feelings, dude. I mean, you know, people are clamoring for this guy's job, you know, his livelihood. And it's really not his, it's his fault, but this is why it's not his fault. We keep bringing in these new first-time head coaches. Listen, the only time we were successful, we had, and Tom Coughlin was only somewhat successful, but was he not a head coach at Boston College doing a pretty decent job there? Okay, he comes here, gets another opportunity, does pretty good, gets him to the playoffs, and then look, parlays that into two more Super Bowl rings. Look at Pete Carroll, failed in New England. Went to college, had some success, little scandal, came back, Super Bowl win. Bill Belichick failed in Cleveland. A lot of people forget that. Comes to New England. Listen, we need a coach, and I'm not trying to be mean to Gus Bradley. He can stay here all year he wants. I don't care. Like, he's learning every week just like the players are. It's just a bad combination. And I want everybody to be careful with this. All the fans jumping off board, I'm not buying tickets. That is a bad sign, guys. And all these people saying you heard Shad Khan and he's going to do this. And let me tell you something. I heard somebody call, I think it was y'all's program after a football game a couple weeks ago, said Bradley's a con man. All he's doing is just, and they may have hired him to just do just that. Come out here and talk and just run good game. But I'm going to start this right here today. You heard it right here first. And I know y'all are going to think I'm crazy. He's probably going to hang up on me. You know what kind of caliber coach we need right now? And I'm going to tell you, he was successful in college, went to the NFL and failed, came back to college, had some success. Now, I know they say his health's getting bad. If the old ball coach had this team, I guarantee you we'd be about 2-5 or 3-6.
All right, hang up on him, because honestly, Leah, I was really going to give you some rope, and you hung yourself with it. I mean, honestly, Steve Spurrier is right. Who you're going with. Steve Spurrier has no interest in working hard, not at the NFL level. He made that very clear. Steve Spurrier thought, let me just bring in Danny Werfel and all these other former Gators, and it'll be just like college. I'll draw it up the same way. He was not cut out. He had no concept of protection concepts at a professional level. You can go empty backfield a lot differently in college football. You got to protect your quarterback in the NFL. You got his guys destroyed.
He's 70.
He's bad.
He's
bad,
70.
Bad, bad,
like,
bad.
There may be.
He just stinks at South Carolina.
Right. There may be a list of college coaches right now that are having some success that you would consider for
sure,
an NFL
absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely. That ain't one of them.
Spurrier's not one.
That's not one of them. The rest of it, fine.
By the way, he wouldn't consider this one either. Like, it doesn't
no.
sound like he wants to do this.
Right. Does he want to start a rebuilding project? If you could hand Steve Spurrier the reins to the New England Patriots if Bill Belichick had an aneurysm, he might take that, but he's not that inclined to bust his butt all that hard at this stage of his career. Look, as far as the fan, when you say the fans are patient, man, I think the fans have a right to feel any way they want. You know, some people want to focus and say, well, you've got to throw away the last 2 years and just focus on this year. Okay, they're 1-5.
They're 1-5.
Well, you want to focus on the Gus Bradley regime? They're 8-30. You want to go back further? They won 2 games a year before that. You want to go back further? Apparently, and I'll trust the numbers, they're 15-73 in their last 88.
Right. I don't think
15-73.
Yeah, fans aren't being impatient. The patience has run out. Like, fans were very patient, if you ask me, through 2 years of bleh. Under Gus Bradley. Like, I think fans were very patient. They bought in, a lot of fans did, into the idea that it's going to take a little while the way they're doing these things, but we got these young pieces on offense. It looks like the defense is being built. It was okay for a large period of last season, so let's see what it looks like in 2015. And in 2015, it's a team that is continuing to find ways to lose football games that they have an opportunity to win. That's what it's been the last 3 weeks, is a team that should have beat Indianapolis, shouldn't have been down the way they were against Tampa if they weren't making the mistakes that they were, and then had a lead in the fourth quarter against Houston at home, and they found a way to go 0-3 in those football games. And that's where the patience is gone. It's done. It's dead for a lot of fans, and I don't blame them one bit for that.
They're losing to mediocre to bad teams. That's what they're doing. They're not beating anybody of substance. And when they beat the Dolphins were a train wreck that were weeks away from firing their own coach. So, you know, that's where they're at right now. Phone lines, by the way, what is it? It's 15 and 50. Oh, it's 15 out of 73. Is that what it is? Okay. Tyler, the hacker said, I guess they got this yesterday. 15 and 58. Doesn't sound a whole lot better, but to be for accuracy's sake, like I said, I didn't go back and check the numbers. I saw somebody tweet that number. It's 15 of the last 73 that they've won. That's not many games to win in a 73 game stretch. That's, wow. Even I could do the math on that, Tony. You lose your next two. And you're 15 out of 75, that means you've won 20% of your games in that stretch of time.
That's
a long stretch of time to lose 80% of your games.
That's not a good number.
No, it's not. So thank you, Hacker, for correcting that stat. Phone lines apparently are going askew at the moment, so we'll try to get them back up and working. We're not blocking you out from calling, trust me. Love to hear from you this morning. We'll hear a little bit from Gus Bradley post-game. We'll also get to the text line. Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line is flying, 641-1010 or 904-641-1010 if you're outside the 904 area code. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. I saw a couple of separate tweets, and I only saw the second one. This went in from Timilla, just Tim, on Twitter. Think of this. Spurrier admitted he's not an NFL head coach, and he still won 12 games in 2 years. Gus has 8 wins in 3, 2.5. I'm nitpicking, but you're not trying to dispute your larger point. Just trying to have a little accuracy on that one. And then we had this one from Simon. Dude called into the show and said the Jags need Spurrier's head coach. I damn near ran off the road. We didn't have a road to run off here, but I was surprised, to say the least, about that one. All right. I think we have the phone lines back up and going. Let me hit a few here on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, Tony.
Okay.
Oh, boy, where do I begin here? They're coming in so fast that as soon as I have one queued up to read, it disappears to the bottom of the pile. When will we look at the real problem? Dave Caldwell. House is a backup at best. Green Bay realizes, so how do we expect them to cover number one? Reality is there isn't enough talent on the roster. They overpaid for mediocre players. Okay. Let's see.
I completely agree with that, by the way. I actually think House is pretty good. I think he had a really, really bad quarter where he wasn't getting any help. I don't think House is a...
He's not a lockdown. He's not Darrell Revis.
Right.
Not many are.
Right. And I think that any fan that had that kind of expectation, I don't like the fact that the Jags went into a game with a game plan that treated him like he is Darrell Revis. That I don't like. And that I don't put on Devon House. Like, honestly, I don't put that on Devon House. I put that on the game plan they had coming into it.
And he fulfilled that, though, for about three quarters, as you said yesterday. They didn't go nuts on him for most of that time. But you're right. At a certain point, adjustments do need to be made. This one, I'm calling it. Gus has gone after Buffalo. Oh, you're calling it, huh? That one's had dibs for a while.
Shots called.
That shot has been called by a lot of people from a lot of different corners. Marone takes over. He follows up for the rest of the year. Let's face it. If you can't beat the Colts without Luck, the Bucs or the Texans, no way you beat the Bills and the Ravens and the Jets next. Maybe your next win is maybe the Titans. That's 1-8 on this path until you get to that Thursday nighter.
I actually looked at it last night, looked at the Jags schedule, because I had it memorized up through basically the bye week and then at the Jets, right? And then it was like, okay, I know it wasn't pretty after that, but let me take a look at what we have after that as someone who predicted 6 wins for this football team, and how can they get to 6 at this point? So I said, I'll assume they sweep Tennessee, which is in a ridiculous assumption.
There's 3.
At this point, but that's 3. I don't see any way we get to 6.
Can we get to 4?
I 4 was tough. I'm telling you, 4 was tough even with that, and 5 I was like, forget this, man. I mean, it's just the way that they're playing right now, and I get that they've been in these last 3 games. If you want to look at it that way, that's fine. That glass half full of they've been in these last 3, and we haven't done that a whole lot in the last 2 years. Okay.
If you choose to look at it that way, I'm not going to talk you out of it.
I'm not going
to
tell you.
I'm not going to try to squash the little bit of fun that you're having or hope that you're having.
And I'm not going to tell you that I don't think this team is better than it's been in the last 2 years. I do think it's better than it's been in the last 2 years. And that's why the last 3 weeks are as aggravating as they are. Because they should have won.
Right. They should have won two out of those three at least. Should have.
And they lost
not
all
could
three.
Could have. Should have.
Right.
I really think that particularly the two prior to this one, they definitely should have
won.
Well,
had by the time the game kicked off yesterday, they were a favorite. In Vegas, they were a favorite in that game yesterday.
Vegas is teasing this entire area code because what they're doing now, their goal is every year to set a number so ridiculously low that you're sucked into taking the over for the win total on the team every year. And then they sit back and they build another palatial casino. Let's go to the phone. 641-1010. Mike at the beach is up next. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hi. How's it going,
Mike?
Guys?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw one thing out there. You know, I don't think we can ignore that we're a year behind schedule with this new offensive coordinator. I know everyone's wanting to win this year, but, you know, the regime made a course correction, so you got to commend them for that. I think everyone's thinking year three, we're going to be competitive. We're going to win. I mean, we are somewhat competitive, but the winning is not going to come with first year. And we're losing these games because of, you know, subpar quarterback play. You live and die by the quarterback in the NFL, and it's going to be at least another year. We got to get Blake to own this offense so that we can, you know, change out coordinators if we need in the future. And we're going to have some consistency there where it'll be his offense like it is with the big boys, with Rodgers, Breeze, Rivers, so on and so forth. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. I'll say that yesterday the three interceptions were very problematic. There's no no question about it. I'll say this also. Against Indy, Tony, forget what the stats are. He nearly threw for 300, but forget the stats. He drove in position to win the game at the end of regulation and in overtime. And the kicker missed field goals both times. Against the Bucs, he threw a pick. Okay? He also threw four touchdowns and led the team to 31 points. He didn't lose that game.
No.
Okay? The defense lost that game.
The defense lost that game, and you have an offensive coordinator who has been scheming guys. I mean, look, for a Jaguars team and an offense that you've been wondering, why can't we ever have a guy just running open? You do.
When's the last time you saw somebody as open as Julius Thomas walking into the end zone
was
yesterday?
You do. Like, the scheme is working. And I think that Olsen has actually done a pretty good job here in Jacksonville through the first six games. You had Julius Thomas wide open. He also had a play where Allen Hurns, on a second down play yesterday, Blake didn't see him. It was a 70-yard touchdown. I mean, there was no safety in the middle of the field. He ran by the corner. The corner just stopped and sat down on the play for some reason. I think Thomas was coming underneath on the play. But Hurns was just running with his hand up. Like, basically from the snap, and Bortles got a little bit of pressure, never saw him.
Right, and that's the one where he rolled right and kind of looked back across and tried to hit Robinson down the field.
Yeah, but Hurns was just wandering down the field.
That's the thing. And Blake, I think, has a lot of promise. I really do. And you compare him to where they've been quarterback-wise for several years now, and if you can't see that promise, then we're not watching the same thing. However, right, that doesn't mean, and I even said this coming out of a four-touchdown game, Tony, there's area for improvement. And you can look at that as a positive, but he's got to fulfill those areas. He's got to stop missing. And by saying missing, I don't mean inaccurately throwing. Not seeing open guys. He's got to do a better job of seeing guys who are wide open. Now, every quarterback misses them, okay? You watch any game in the National Football League, and they'll come back and they'll say, oh, so-and-so is coming back to the huddle saying, man, oh, you had to look. I was wide open. I mean, it happens, okay? But it's got to become less frequent. 641-1010. Let's go to Brian in East Arlington. Hi, Brian.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Well, one thing, Bortles was running around so much in the backfield because the offensive line kept getting blown up. To another point, Calvin Johnson and Stafford are pretty good tandem in the NFL, but they don't seem to be doing any better than us. You got to be good on every side of the ball, of course, just like everybody knows. But it's just like they just can't get anything going on anywhere. The main thing too is the running game. This team, if we could just start running the ball, and I think that comes back to Caldwell and Bradley. I don't know who's making more of the decisions in player personnel, but if you have a guy that has somewhat talent, they should be able to break a 20 or 30 yard run here and there. We aren't getting guys to do any long runs at all. Hardly. I mean, there's any of that going on.
All right, hey, listen, we appreciate the feedback. Let me say this, a couple of things about that. Look, no one's saying this is hauling Blake. If that's what you're hearing, you're not hearing what I'm intending you to hear.
No.
Clearly, that's the problem. There are too many issues across the board. Offensive line, absolutely. Either not opening holes, dumb penalties, getting your quarterback killed, combination of all of the above, sure. But this, hey, Stafford and Calvin Johnson are struggling, I don't care. I do not care, and neither should any other Jaguar fan say, you know what, it gives me solace that at least other teams are just as bad as we are. Stop that. Don't compare yourselves to only the dregs of the National Football League. That's why you're in – it's not why you're in this rut, but that's not productive to me anyway. I mean, if you choose to, go ahead. Do what you're going to do. But so what? All right, Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson are struggling too. They're not getting good protection from their offensive line. They've got a myriad of problems. It's not going to save Jim Caldwell's job if he doesn't start winning games.
No.
Right? So I don't care, frankly, that other teams are just as bad as Jacksonville. There are some that are just as bad. Beat some of them, A. And secondly, this is the year when the AFC has been as wide open, particularly the division, as it's been in a long time since the Colts collapsed in the season when they were able to acquire the draft spot to get Andrew Luck. Other than that, you haven't seen Indy this down in a while, and even though they were competitive with New England last night, they lost, and they're 3-3, and they're not running away with it. And they should be 2-4 by all rights, because if you could kick a field goal, that's what they'd be right now.
Yep.
And that's just the facts of the matter. So it doesn't do anything for me that other teams are struggling. Yeah, some other teams are struggling. This team's been struggling perennially. Detroit was in the playoffs last year. Okay, so now they're struggling this year. What about last year? They were in the playoffs. The Jags can point to 2007, and they've been on a pretty much downward progression in their record ever since, and they're in a holding pattern in, you know, they're not even good enough to be called mediocre. It's not even in mediocrity. They're a holding pattern of bad football and have been for a while now. And you can point to all the reasons in terms of the plan to rebuild the team and rip it down. It doesn't matter. The bottom line to the fans out there, Tony, the results are the same. And the results are they're losing football games hand over fist. And that's what they've been doing for a long, long time. 6-4-1-10-10. We will come back this date in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. John Osier will join us, and we'll take more of your calls straight ahead on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. This date, October 19th, 1969, Oakland quarterback Daryl LaMonica threw 6 touchdown passes in a 50-21 victory for the Raiders over the Buffalo Bills. Famous birthdays for this date, not exactly chock full of them, Tony. 1964, Webster Slaughter. Remember him? Not a bad wide receiver.
Yeah.
Surprised me, actually made a couple of Pro Bowls, Webster Slaughter did.
Just that name.
Turns 51 years young today, and born in 1974 on this date, Andre Wadsworth, former Florida State defensive lineman with the 3rd overall pick of the Arizona Cardinals, I want to say in 1998, and ultimately really didn't do much. Got hurt. He was a former walk-on at Florida State. It's pretty good money. I hope you kept your signing bonus. That's not a bad job from going from former walk-on to 3rd overall pick, but didn't do a whole lot with it at the time. So there you have it. This date in football brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Free roofs, repairs. If you have issues with your home's roof leaking or you want to make sure that it doesn't or your place of business, call Bob Roberts. 287-7756, license number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, bringing you this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Miami defensive end Olivier Vernon was flagged for a low hit on Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota in the first quarter that caused Mariota to leave the game temporarily and came back in with a brace on his left knee. He proceeded to throw 2 interceptions, fumbled the ball a couple times in the game. After the game, Titans head coach Ken Whisenhunt was still upset about the hit. He called it a BS play and went on to say that he thought Vernon was intentionally trying to hurt his quarterback. We'll see what the league has to say about the hit later this week. The conversation leading into the Colts-Patriots on Sunday Night Football was all about how much the Patriots and Brady had circled that game on the schedule. It was no less a big deal for Indianapolis, who are still looking to get their first win with Andrew Luck at the helm. against New England. Say what you want about Manning v. Brady in that argument. At least Manning beat Brady and the Patriots every now and then. The pressure became clearest during one of the dumbest plays in league history, as the Colts ran a fake punt where the ball was snapped to Griff Whalen with one blocker for three defenders, and the entire offensive line, which was split out to the wide right side of the field, lined up illegally, so the play wouldn't have counted even if it had worked. That play combined with another loss to the Patriots probably puts Colts head coach Chuck Pagano on even thinner ice than he was already skating across in Indianapolis.
You know who I blame, honestly? The guy to my immediate left, John Osher.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you left Indy, they can't beat the Patriots. You come here, the Jags' record has been awful in your tenure as the senior writer, John.
Yeah.
I say this facetiously.
No,
you told me that you do have a guy on Twitter.
You got to dig up
reminds
every.
You every week. It's
got
to
dig
fault.
Up every possibility. Let's sift through it.
Hey, you know what? Since the two of us, Tony and I, have started hosting Jaguars Today on a regular basis, it has not gone well for the team.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, whatever you want to point to, it's all fair game.
My answer to that
right
question
now
is probably about as insightful as some of the others you'll answer. But let's give it a shot. What the heck?
All right. Let me tell you. We'll get to a couple of things. We've got a couple of people that have been hanging on the line. So let's hear from them to get the ball rolling. And then you're going to spend most of the next hour with us here.
Can't wait,
it's
Mike.
It's our good fortune to have you.
Let me get my headphones back on here.
Funny. All right. Settled. And he's got the aviators propped on top of his head. We are ready to go with Fred on the south side. Fred, thanks for holding on. What can we do for you?
Hey, thanks, Mike. Don't hang up after the first thing I say. Hey, if that
don't
guy
say,
is
hold on,
give
hold on, hold
call,
on, Fred. Then
good
don't
start.
Then don't say they should hire Spurrier, okay?
I won't. This is just a funny,
all right, good,
funny little tidbit. If they're going to say, let's hire Spurrier, then, hey, I can one-up them. Let's hire Bowden.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Sure. All right. Yeah, okay. I gotcha.
he was at least 8-5 against him.
I gotcha. I'm rolling with it.
So did anyone who calls up and says, we need to have more patience, go back to your job and fail for 3 or 4 years and see what you can get away with. Patience is not 2-14, 2-14, 3-13. It's 6-10, 9-7, 10-6, but losing the playoffs again, and boom, this year you're 6-0. People in Cincinnati have been patient. We are beyond patience. And to top it off, while I was on hold, I got a flat tire. Sent you a picture.
Ah, yes. Sorry about the flat tire, man.
Oh, you're the one with the picture on the text line.
All right, that's probably Osher's fault as well.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I would say, as far as that goes. We did have one who in the first hour advocated for the old ball coach. He's available now, so come on down.
He said we would have won at least 2 games by now with Spurrier.
All right, moving on.
At least 2.
Let's get Pat in here, and then we'll talk more with Johnny O. Pat, go ahead. You're on Jaguars Today.
Hey, thanks. Hey, a couple things. I think we've got some players. I'm really distressed by the coaching. Our four-man rush is not a pass rush, so we keep using it. You know, we should be in a five-man rush, and it should be a different five every time, and they should never know where it's coming from because our four-man rush is no good. But we drop back into that thing, and these guys complete 3rd and 13 on us for the last four weeks. The other thing is the offensive line. It's terrible. We don't have a fullback on the team. We cannot get our runners, and I think Toby Gerhart runs hard, but he cannot get to the second level. There is no hole, and we don't have a fullback. I mean, we keep trying to do something that we just don't have, and we refuse to change. You know, that's coaching. I'm really upset with this, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. It's not working. We should have had, you know, when House was having trouble, we should have had a safety over the top. It should have been that cover too. You got to do that. You can't just keep going and going and going. And I thought House did a good job for a long time, but that's a tough call by yourself. And the coaching never modified what they were trying to do. And they don't do that. In fact, Gus Bradley even said halftime's not long enough to change our plan. So our second halves are terrible. I think there's a real coaching problem here.
All right, hey, Pat, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And letting you vent a little bit. What's your reaction?
Well, again, anytime it doesn't work, the first thing you blame is coaching, and I get that. I agree that I thought House played pretty well against DeAndre Hopkins up to a point. Yeah,
right.
Up to a point.
And as Tony said, well, I'm not going to blame Devon House either. He's going out there. He did probably better than most guys would do,
yeah,
singled up on him. And then you reach a point where DeAndre Hopkins' skill catches up and maybe you should send a little help at that point in time.
And that's where you have to make the decision. Do you help over the top? The people who want more blitzing, well, when you have more blitzing, you have less guys back. So it limits what you do.
I think
back.
They take that, though. So, I honestly do. I think people would rather die aggressively, you know what I mean, than the death of a thousand little paper cuts that you send five or six guys and you try, and if they hit you over the top because they picked it up, I think more people could live with that than the feeling of inevitability that if we sent four and you watch Hoyer be able to turn his head all day.
It was the first Hopkins touchdown pass, right?
Yeah, where
they,
he had all
they
day
They sent
throw.
Four right. and he's just standing there scooting, and then Hopkins finally comes open on the back. He barely comes open, right? And maybe House would have been better served in that situation instead of trying to pick the ball.
That's
and
where
just do whatever you got to do to knock it down. But it's the number one complaint right now that I'm getting. You know, from fans on game day. It's,
why no more blitzing?
Why aren't we sending some kind of pressure? Because these quarterbacks, they have way too much time. The four-man pressure package they have, it's just not working. Right. And they got to find some kind of answer besides what they got.
And, again, obviously the only solution to that is to blitz a higher percentage of time. They clearly don't believe in that. Is the solution Ryan Davis, Chris Smith? I don't think those guys... Playing those guys on first and second down, I don't know that that solves your issue. That's something, you know, Ryan Davis is in on third down, and even the lightning package that was working last year is not working the way it did last year.
Right.
So I don't really think that's I don't think playing him 15 more plays is automatically going to change your pass rush.
I think it's pretty clear that a healthy Cedric Marks is the key to the pass rush last year. Not just what he created for himself. To
it
me,
it was,
anyway.
At the same time, as we said all off season, the pass rush had 45 sacks and it was effective, but it was also, it got home a large percentage of the time. I forget what the numbers were, but their pressures outside of the sacks were not where you thought, boy, this is
right,
a
based
dominant.
On 45 sacks, you'd expect X amount of pressures as a percentage of sacks are, and they had a higher percentage of converting pressure to sacks.
Right, which showed up a little bit in the fact, and it's showing up again this year. I thought it showed up last year in the fact that there were, I think, three interceptions by the secondary all of last year. Usually, if you're getting consistent pressure, that number is higher. So that was sort of indicative in that as well. You know, do you blitz more? It's a gamble, but at this point, I don't know what else you can do.
Right, because, I think people are willing to take a gamble because they feel
like
what's happening is not working.
That a four-person pass rush... The play that you're talking about to DeAndre Hopkins was far from the only time where he had all day to stand back and throw. And the other argument for Devon House is, I'm not even sure what Hopkins' numbers were, 10 for 148
and two touchdowns, I believe.
A fairly high percentage of those balls probably don't get thrown to DeAndre Hopkins with a better pass rush.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and really, the three he caught in the first half, I thought, were all well contested. You know, and you're going to make some plays as a receiver that I can recall anyway. At least
there are plays that you're fine with a receiver of that caliber having against you. And at the end of the game, you'd have been like, okay.
Yeah, he wasn't running wide open. He caught 3 for 33, and then he caught the one off his helmet. He caught the one hander. You know, the ball on the side. I mean, those, as Tony said earlier, you just kind of shake your head and tip your cap to a guy like that. It's just when he's running wide open behind the secondary. And over time, when you know,
well, that one, I think,
Foster, what you need to stop going into the game.
I think Gus had the point after the game, looked into the backfield, got beat on that. That was a play that he missed. So, but again, if you're covering this guy all over the field all day, that one play probably didn't cost them the game in the big picture as much as the pass rush.
Let me be clear. I don't think the majority of people are saying, boy, Devon House is the...
Yeah, we're probably over-talking because I haven't...
Now, some people
I haven't
like,
gotten that feeling.
Right, but his name has come up a couple of times, so that's why I brought it up with you. All right, let's do this. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. And I know you said, you know, that when you're losing, the first thing you look at kind of is coaching.
Sure.
One of the easy. So I'll ask you, what will you look at? I mean, what should we be looking at in terms of where in the short term this team can get better? Not a year from now, not 2 years
sure.
from now, but what do you think is fixable in the short term for this football team? So we'll do that coming up. John Ogier is here with us, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. We'll take more of your calls as well at 641-1010. You can also text us on that same number on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We went a little contrarian today with the question of the day, asking you, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, what are three reasons you have that give you hope as a Jaguar fan? What are three things about being a Jag fan that gives you hope right now? If you can come up with three, share those with us, and we'll try to end at least on a little bit more of a positive note on the way out the door. But that doesn't mean we're trying to ignore the reality of the situation. This is a team that I think by all accounts, that by any measure right now, is a bad football team. Until they start winning games, they're going to wear that label because they've earned that label up until this point. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Ogier here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Ogier.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Johnny O is along for the remainder of the program today. Happy Monday.
Yes, I am.
All of you out there.
Wild West Guns and Gold
it
Monday.
Is. Well, it wouldn't be the same without you, actually. You excited about the London trip? Do you enjoy it? Is it a hassle? I mean,
I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't enjoy going to London. I mean, because there are, you know, we went out last year to the UK, you know, and
yeah.
you get a chance to meet a lot of
Union
people.
Jacks,
right. I'm sorry, Union Jack.
I had to think for a second, too. It didn't pop up in my head either.
You get a chance to meet a lot of people who are very passionate about what you do and appreciate it, and to see the excitement that they have. And there are a lot of people who are really excited about seeing the Jags and really excited about getting a chance to talk about the Jags. That's neat. And obviously, getting a chance to walk through downtown London, I'm not going to poo-poo on that.
That's a cool deal.
But it's a – during the season, it is a tiring trip.
It's certainly. And I imagine it's going to be interesting to see. I'm not going on this one, but to see what the turnaround is like for you. Doing it that quickly.
It's fine. I mean, you know, you're on the charter. You know, this is no woe is me. It's not like
right.
you know.
But it's still, it's just different.
Yeah, you know, I'm not. Yeah, so looking forward to it. And this will be much more of a normal road trip than the past two because of the turnaround time. So.
Gotcha. All right, Johnny O.
Enough about me, Mike.
Well, I'll just ask you. The trip's coming up this week. 641-1010 is the phone number. We said going into the break, and for the rare time, I will actually come out of the break, Tony, and mention what I mentioned going into the break and not just skip right past
it. Yeah, throw the listeners a bone.
We do this all the time. At least I do. But short term, what do you say we can do better with what we have? There is a way to do better, not just play better. I mean,
right.
What are areas that you think are improvable in the short term?
Well,
for
I think the thing we talked about before the break is interesting because generally when teams believe that they are a certain thing, and this team really in 3 years or 2 years and whatever, how many games, six, they have clearly don't believe that they're an exotic blitzing team. That's not what they do. At the same time, their pass rush is not working. And somebody asked me last night in the Ozone mailbag, you know, what's the biggest thing aside from youth? And I still think youth is a factor, but what's the biggest thing that's really holding this team back? And it's pass rush. When you can't affect the passer, it's hard to get turnovers. It's hard to get big plays. They're not penetrating up front. They're not disrupting. Well, how do you change that? The only – last year they did some things with exotic stuff, games, stunts, and it worked. It's not working this year. So the only solution after that is blitzing. Well, if that's not who you are and you don't think you have the personnel to do it, then instinctively as a coach, you are playing away from a strength. And that's a tough ask. So does that happen? I don't know, but at some point you've got to pressure that quarterback because it's just killing you.
And
you can hear the conflict when I talk about it. It's tough to say, let's go away from who we think we are.
But it, when who you think you are produces the same result over and over and over and over again, and
no, as soon as I say it, I know that's the immediate response,
right? And I know you're
and
you're
that's where
to,
you wonder what they'll do. That's why
you're trying to give a reasoned answer to it. And I understand emotion plays in a large role with the fans, and that's understandable as well,
as it should.
But you know, like I had this debate with Jeff Logman after the New England game, and I thought at a certain point. What you're doing, Brady's just going think all the way down the field. You're not affecting him. You're not stopping him in the least.
Right.
Blitz him. What do you have to lose? Well, he's the best against the blitz. He's pretty good in what he's doing at this moment. Try something.
It's interesting when you say that. I get a lot of emails and say, you know, just because I say that it's a tough ask for him to blitz doesn't mean when Hoyer's standing back there, I'm not dropping the pen going, why aren't they blitzing? You know, so you have that instinctive reaction, and yet in our jobs, you come back and you try to figure out why they did what they do.
Whether you agree with that reasoning or not, here is why.
Yeah,
that's
so
part of the job.
Absolutely, there are times I'm sitting there going, you know, they've got Aaron Colwin's a pretty good blitzer. They've got these guys. These things, we've seen them work before, and when they work, the first thing you do is you turn the person sitting next to you and say, see, I told you that would work. At the same time, there are times it doesn't work that they know and they see and they know why it won't work, so that's why they don't call it. So there's the conflict, and there's what we're talking about today.
Here was Gus Bradley after the game talking about the lack of pass rush.
Well, you saw us try to bring some extra pressure today, and we got to them a couple times. Got them to throw some errant passes, and we're trying to find a way to get more. You count on the front four. If you're not quite getting what you need to get turnovers, you bring some pressures, and they hit a couple on our pressures. And, you know, so you're trying to pick and choose your times to bring pressure. But, you know, that consistency, you know, we got to have it from our guys.
Do you get the sense?
Well, I think you heard it there at the end. That's his conflict, too. And at some point when you are a rush and get four, there's no answer there. So I think that's where they are in terms of do we blitz more? Do we blitz more? The fans are screaming yes. And at some point you figure they will. Now, what that will mean in terms of what you give up for the back end, we'll see.
This team has made a lot of mental mistakes as part of this current losing stretch right here. Fred Taylor said on the post game yesterday, and I respect Fred's opinion greatly. Fred cares about this team very deeply. He wants to be positive, and that's a natural reaction. I think people can understand that. Fred is an incredibly detailed note taker. We mention it almost every post game. He comes in with page after page of notes. So he is really into the game, and he has really impressed me with his desire to take this job seriously over the last couple of years. So I just want to say that up front about Fred. But he thinks this team is just not mentally sharp. They're not focused. And that's the only excuse or only reasoning you can give for all the mental errors that you have. Where does that fall? Clearly the coaches aren't saying, hey, play, you know, footloose and fancy free out there. But somehow the message and the importance of eliminating this from their game is not getting transferred over to the actions on game day. Where does that fault lie?
Well, I mean, the place that it has to turn is coaching if it's across the board. Now, then the question becomes, are your players, who I still believe that inexperience playing together and youth has played into a lot of the mental errors that we're talking about. And yesterday, the quarterback at the end of the first half threw a pass to Julius Thomas that should not have been thrown. Well, that cost them points, and then all of a sudden you're in situations in the second half where you should have been playing with leads, and you're playing from behind. It changes your situation. So it seems to go across the board where it's different guys on different weeks. Is that coaching? I don't know where else you turn on that, but I also know that young players take time to have those things ironed out.
Look, so I get it. When you're the more experience you have as a quarterback, you're going to see things. The game slows down. We've heard all those things, but Blake knows in that situation you can't turn it over. I mean, he's played enough quarterback in his life at most levels.
Right.
You get a sense quickly. you're down here, final minute of the half, you got to come away with
right.
points.
We and all that's know where that. I think Gus's explanation post-game, when he was talking about the pressing, he referred to the fourth quarter, and yet I think he was also talking about that play at the end of the first half, too, where players trying to make a play and trying to make a big play at a certain time when it's there do something that at that spur of the moment is either not what they coached or out of character or whatever. And that seemed to be what he was trying to get at in the post game. Is that an excuse? Is that whatever? I don't know. But that seemed – I could see why that was gnawing at him after the game. It was like we had our chances. It was there. We were even leading in the fourth quarter. And then these things that just seemed like, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to win the game. Well, that's not how you do it.
All right, let's go back to the lines. Shelton on the south side is next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Shelton.
Hey, good morning, Mike. I have a question, man. I mean, I'm not one of the guys that's on the bandwagon about fire the coach because I understand the consequences of what happens when you blow it all up and you got new coordinators and all that stuff. But after every game, Gus always says that we're going to learn and get better. I mean, after 40 games, 3 years, what else can you possibly be learning that you don't already know? I mean, if you're still learning at this point and you've had 3 years, 40 games, and you only won 8 of them or 7 of them, what else can you possibly be learning? And if you're still learning, could it be that maybe you not the right person for the job? I mean, just a question, man. Just what I was saying.
I understand. Hey, Shelton, nobody's judge. You're entitled to feel however you feel about it. I think it's a fair question. And I think, John, just look. I understand that my Twitter feed and the texts that are sent directly to me and my emails do not comprise the entirety of the thought from the fan base out there, but it's all I've got to go on in
sure.
terms of feedback. The people that call into this program, we have many different ways for you to communicate your ideas now, whether you get on the air or not. And I hear one thing, several things, but one thing that I, among the things that I hear over and over is this. We're going to learn from this. This is a great learning experience. And when you're making the same mistakes, the question becomes, why didn't you learn from the first, I don't know, half dozen times you made the same set of errors? Now, I understand different areas of the team fail to function properly, but when it comes to mental mistakes are mental mistakes. Whether you're jumping off sides on an onside kick attempt or whether you're jumping off sides on a third and five, a la Chris Clements, who's a longtime vet. He shouldn't have to learn anything. He's been around for a long time. So,
and again, are those mistakes of
aggression?
Yeah,
right.
Which, again, when Gus was saying that after the game, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is what we've heard, There was that element yesterday. There's no question. Now, the problem is that element led to a loss, so you can say what you want. Were you pressing? Well, why were you pressing? Why was that happening? Why does that... That's where it manifested itself yesterday. Against the Bucks, it manifested itself, you know, I even forget, against Indy, it was penalties. Against the Bucks, it was fumbles. It's always been something, and I guess I don't know the answer to it.
The learn how to win thing, too. We need to learn how to finish. How do you learn how to do it until you've done it?
That's right.
Right? I mean, it's like a chicken and the egg. Until you've done, you can't learn, I should have done this. Well, no, you learn how to finish by finishing. And if you can't finish until you learn how to do it, you'd never finish. So at some point, just play better football in the fourth quarter. That's how you finish, right? Don't make the mental mistakes. And I'm sure that's an oversimplification of it. But
well, also say this. It's a lot easier to finish. And as much as I'm hearing the noise about coaching, about mental areas, about we're tired of hearing it. Boy, it's a lot easier to finish when you can pressure the passer.
Oh, no question.
I mean, and I'm not trying to be snide about it.
In all seriousness, look at the formula that Indy had for years, right?
Right.
Go score some points. We're not going to play great defense, but when we get teams down in the fourth quarter, we've got two guys that are Hall of Fame caliber at one thing, and that is creating havoc in the backfield. The rest of the defense was, quite frankly, often interchangeable with the apologies to Bob Sanders, but for most of those other nine guys...
He was the one guy who wasn't interchangeable.
Right. For most of those guys, though,
absolutely,
throughout the Colts run, they had two guys guys that were exceptional individual pass rushers, I'm sure they schemed them to help them out as well.
Yeah, they schemed him and said, "Go beat the
part
go beat
of
your
right,
guy
go out
on the
there
outside
and go right, go run in there and knock the ball out right. of the quarterback's hand." And they were very good at it. So weren't a great defense, but they were great in that area. And
yeah,
that is how you close.
And there
games
were things
quite often
that, right.
in the NFL.
And that's when you can't create turnovers, and that's indicative of the pass rush, and you can't affect the quarterback. That makes it very tough to close games, and it makes it very tough to ever get any breathe easy points. Meaning, in the first half, you get a pick six, or you get a fumble, where you're only going 15,
10-yard line, right?
And there's never really anything like that. That seems to me to be the crux of the turnover issue. So that it sort of goes back to that, and I don't know how you fix that.
Yeah, you need better playmakers. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else there is. I don't know if you scheme turnovers. You know what I mean? As much
right.
as guys are good in coverage and they study tendencies and they jump on, they get breaks on
right.
balls and things like that, or a guy like Charles Tillman who had a knack for popping balls out.
Sure.
I mean, they're playmakers. You need playmakers. Playmakers
right.
create havoc. They
but in the backfield,
turnovers.
Those playmakers play a lot better when the quarterback has half the time to throw.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just...
Oh, on the back, yeah, the back, you mean on the back end, the secondary will play
right.
better. Absolutely.
Fran
no
O'Brien
question.
Told me once as a back 99, you rarely get interceptions when the other team does the right thing.
Let's get one more in before we break. Bob, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Tony. Hi, John. I have two quick questions. I have never heard it, but has Gus Bradley actually ever said, "I am responsible"? And number two, has it ever happened that a general manager was fired in the middle of the year that might put a fire under the head coach to say, you now have a sign that if you don't straighten things out, you'll be gone? I'll listen off the radio, but I just want to ask you those, and
all right.
thanks. I'm enjoying
Thank
the
you.
Show.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak, as I'm sure there have been GMs fired in midseason, but I would imagine they've been swept out with the coach at the same time, because typically,
yeah.
that's not the order. You don't keep the coach, fire the GM, because the incoming guy almost always wants a new coach, and there's friction. Even if it works early on, there's friction, and that guy in the back of his mind is waiting for the opportunity
right.
to make his first hire.
Yeah, and I don't know that Gus has ever said that exact quote, but yeah, I've never gotten the idea around Gus that he's put out anything except that he's responsible. I mean, he's the head coach. He knows that. Should he say it? I don't know if he should say it. I don't really get into statements like that in terms of monitoring
sure.
it. He's responsible, and I've never gotten the idea that he thinks anything otherwise.
All right, we got to take a time out here. We'll come back, try to get a couple more calls on the other side if you'd like to get on. 641-1010. That's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We'll get the fan feedback spotlight today, trying to find some positivity in the whole situation. What are three things that give you hope as a Jaguar fan? Share them with us here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osier.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Just all those throws. Uh-oh.
Now we've got on a fourth down and three.
What kind of play you got for this situation?
How about the annexation of Puerto Rico?
You got Griff Whalen ready to take the snap.
Benny pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Not bad.
He'll snap it. Actually, Colt Anderson is behind him. And what in the world? Flag is down.
Illegal formation. The whole right side of the line was not on the line of scrimmage. Offense. This penalty is declined. The result of the play is first down for New England.
See, I was at a disadvantage. I've never seen Little Giants.
The whole right side.
The whole right side of the line was not in position. So
Little Giants is great.
I've never seen it. So, I was in a loss. Tyler was talking to me about the annexation of Puerto Rico this morning. I'm like, is it?
Yeah, I didn't
get
that reference
political,
either.
Tyler,
yeah.
Come on. That's unbelievable.
That play is going to make me chuckle for a long time. Like, that's butt fumble chuckle
yes.
factor for
yes.
me, that play.
You can come back from the butt fumble, as we've seen
right
this year.
Side.
By the way, greatest extra point block in the history of the National Football League. I don't know if you stayed up that long. I didn't watch most of the game last night. I followed it on my iPad. I had enough NFL for one day.
Right.
I was all in. I got home.
I was answering emails. That was awesome.
I watched. My kid didn't have school today, so we watched some shows together, and then I scurried him away, and I watched The Walking Dead. But I did tune in towards the end, and did you see the extra point block? It was amazing. The guy
I did. I actually got home right before that.
And leaps right over the line. It blocked it with his hip. He was so far in the backfield, he jumped up and blocked it with, his hip.
Wasn't it Jamie Collins?
Was it
he
Jamie
even had
Collins?
Time to sort of duck away from it.
It's going to hurt if I take it in the belly. Let me just kind of turn and pop it out with my hip. It was well done.
I was watching to see if my LeGarrette Blount call would come through.
It did.
And it did. He scored twice.
Let me just say, here, I got this tweet from Sad Jags Fan at AA Cameron 1, quoting me, "You need playmakers." Then he says, "Jags sign, how Scooter, Odric, Thomas have Bortles 88-15 yelled in? Come on, man." If you listen to the words I'm saying, which have specific meanings, I said to create turnovers, the key to creating turnovers is defensive playmakers. Okay?
Yeah.
Odric, by the nature of his position, is not expected to be a playmaker. He's supposed to be an occupy space guy. Now, Scooter is expected to be a playmaker. He's brought in to be
more of a
pass rush guy, and he had a moment yesterday. But, and I would say
he's had a couple. I wouldn't say he's been. If there was another one, I think he'd be better, if that makes sense.
Well, another playmaker.
Yeah, if there was...
That's kind of how it works, right? The more guys, the other team has to pay more attention to different guys, and that creates opportunities for others.
I'm not sure he can be the guy, I guess is what I'm saying.
Understood. My point being, Scooter and House, I'll give you in this category, are supposed to be playmakers. Are they making plays? Now, House, I thought, had a great game against the Bucs, defending Mike Evans, and had a terrific first half. But in terms of making plays, in terms of creating turnovers, they're not doing that, obviously.
Right.
And, you know, passes defense is nice. That is maybe the next best thing to a turnover if you're a defensive back. But
they also, and I think this was a clearly a deficiency that they knew, tried to address, and couldn't. They don't have a playmaking safety.
Without question.
Which also, those are the two spots that you really see, Fowler coming back, I don't talk all the way in the next year, but if you're thinking about this, a Fowler coming back, but they knew they needed a playmaking safety, they tried to get one, didn't, still don't have one, got to get it at some point.
My point being, if you're going to try to go gotcha, and I'm talking about defensive playmakers, and you list Bortles, Hearns, Allen Robinson and Yeldon
gotcha.
To support your argument, you're not understanding my English language as it is spoken with the words that are coming out of my mouth. All right? My English language, John.
Yours.
Mine. My version
you're unique.
Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Tony, let's take a look before we see if we can squeeze in a couple more calls. Fan feedback spotlight today asking you, give me three things to give you hope as a Jaguar fan.
From Cristiano, quarterback progress, staff change, and the draft and free agency coming up. From Tom, Dolphins new coach, still good fantasy points, and still feel good about Blake and the receivers. From Ocho Fisho, the tailgate, Bortles in the offense, Clemens and Branch, not long for the roster. From Stoff, Blake, the Allens, thinking of three positives is really hard. # Wembley week. From Michael, not much, alcohol, and a rope that is looking more and more friendly. Just kidding. From Eric, Blake Bortles improving. Free agency in the draft, hard to answer today. From Jags Movie Guy, the offseason, Star Wars Episode 7, and Carol on the Walking Dead. From Bill,
oh, she was phenomenal last night,
Carol. A new head coach, general manager, and kicker. From Joey, next year's draft, next year's free agent class, and I got two things. From Clarence, Bortles, Hearns, and Robinson. From Philip, I hope the new head coach can win, the new GM can pick, and that Bortles gets better. From Will, pool, scoreboard, Bortles. From 401, Bortles, A-Rob, and Hearns. He also mentioned Julius Dante and Big Sin. From Jason, Blake, the Allens, another top five draft pick. And from Demetrius, we have our quarterback. There will be good head coach candidates available this offseason, and the 2016 NFL draft.
Mo Clacken at Wonder Pig on Twitter.
That's awesome.
Is that Wonder? Would you like Mo Clacken or Wonder Pig better?
I like the whole thing.
I like the whole thing.
I like everything.
Mo Clacken, AKA
it's awesome.
Wonder Pig on Twitter, tweeted this. The internet is amazing. Apparently, Doug Marrone's wiki page has been updated. Much like Back to the Future predicted the Cubs would win the World Series this very year. According to his Wikipedia page, the Jags hired Marrone to be an assistant to the head coach and the offensive line coach. On October 26th, Marrone was named interim head coach, blah, 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 blah. So Wiki has looked into the future and has made a prediction.
That would be next Monday.
On that. That would be next Monday, however. All right. Do we have time? I think we do. Let's get a Doc on the south side before we close up shop today. Hello, Doc. Hey. How are you?
Going on, fellas. Hey, man, I just wanted to make a comment. I think a comment's off the air, man. So, you know, since Gus Bradley's gotten here year one, I mean, as far as the players go, I think the players have progressed, you know, from Joko. You know, he's not playing stellar, but he's getting better from the quarterbacks, the receivers, et cetera, et cetera. Now, so with that being said, I think the players have progressed. I can't think of one reason or one way that Gus Bradley as a head coach has progressed. I mean, since the day he stepped in here, on the first Sunday, that dude still calls timeouts at the wrong time, still doesn't know when to challenge a play, and et cetera, et cetera. Second half, adjustments, all that stuff. See, this dude has not progressed as a head coach since the first day he stepped in. And I think it's hindering his team. I think Thomas out there.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Do you have a rebuttal to that or a comment on that?
On challenges particularly, he has struggled.
Yes.
I would say that.
Yes.
And, you know, as far as adjustments, we've gone over and over and over it. I think they're not as much of a part as commentators tend to think. At the same time, they've had woeful second halves. So.
Right. And when other teams consistently seem to find ways of doing things differently right. than you in the second half.
I don't know if it's second half, but overall, the adjustments have been, not awesome.
Right. They're at where they're at right now. Gus Bradley will have his Monday press conference coming up, what time? Within the next hour. Will you guys cover that live on Jaguars.com?
Yes, we will. And Brian Sexton, JP Shattuck, and I will talk a little ball at 12:45. It's a live impromptu.
Just three fellas. You know what JP's new nickname is, by the way?
I shudder
at Babe.
This thought. Yeah, well.
Yeah. I lost my mind yesterday after being here all day and JP signing off. And he said, as he typically will say, as his sign off, hey, good job today, whatever. And I was going to go, thanks, buddy, or thanks, bud, or
call them babe,
thanks, JP. And somehow it came out, thanks, babe.
Yeah.
And I just owned it at that point in time. I didn't try to pretend I didn't say it.
2015 might be remembered for that.
Terry Norvell, if you're out there, I was channeling you. Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
T-Mac. Anybody knows T-Mac, we say that affectionately. What is T-Mac up to these days? All right, that'll do it for us on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, from revolvers to sporting arms, and just about everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America. That is guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jacks.com is the site. You can visit them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville, or call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold. Let's go around the table. Tony, final thought for this Monday.
I hope we don't have to have a whole lot more Mondays that are this sad. Honestly, I hope that it turns around and turns around quick, but I don't see it coming in 2015.
John?
Yeah, I wish I had better answers than I did today. I feel bad for the listeners. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for me. But
I feel bad for me.
Well, and the things that are haunting them continue to haunt them, and the only thing to fix it is winning. But it's tough.
I don't expect any change. Like last Monday, I came in here, I thought maybe he takes over play calling on defense. Maybe that kind of thing happens. I'm not sure that it's not too late for any of that at this point. With you're 1-5, maybe something happens like that at the press conference today. But if he wasn't going to do it last week, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm not a big shift on the fly guy. I think generally speaking, these things have to be played through. But at 1-5, that's tough to hear.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the main refrains that we hear. You know, you're hearing the, you're hearing it, and nothing's changing. And look, I do believe there are people out there that are patient. But some people have passed their point of patience, their limit of whatever that is, and that's their
prerogative. That's okay too.
You know, I mean, your fans are fans, man, and I will never tell you you're not entitled to feel. Sometimes I'll think you're crazy for feeling a certain way, particularly if you don't fully invest in logic in your argument. However,
a lot of fans are crazy, but not being patient is not the reason.
Correct. That right. There are things that there are aspects that I may call you crazy because you have some idea, like, I don't know, hiring Steve Spurrier
right.
as an ex-head coach. But, right, lack
and
of
the crazy
patience
is what
at
makes
this
great.
Point is not one of the things that I would list as one of the craziest things out there. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. We'll say hello to Joe C., Hacker, and T-Wig. They're coming up next with XL Primetime. Catch John Osier on Twitter, at John Osier. And, of course, you can catch him coming up on Jaguars.com with JP, the Babe, Shadrick, and Brian Sexton as they get you ready for Gus Bradley's Monday presser over at Jaguars.com. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll say hello to the guys of XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.